What are some of the convictions you're pushing on others were never meant to be their burden in the first place? What if God asked you to carry them quietly, just between you and Him, while you gently restore others only when they cross His clear lines of trespass and sin? In this devotional, we unpack Romans 14 and Galatians chapter 6 to separate personal preferences from biblical absolutes, so you can walk in freedom and not legalism. Stay with me as we explore how a quiet, confident faith before God can still boldly transform the public square. Let's dive in. The Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are in our series, Absolutes and the Principles of Conscience. And we are almost done with Romans chapter 14, verse 22. I think it goes to the 23rd verse. So by tomorrow, we should be done. I hope you've enjoyed this time together. It's been a great series as we've gone through the chapter 14 of the book of Romans. If you've enjoyed it, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It truly does help us to fulfill our goal, which is what? Change the heart so that we change the public square, taking the gospel into all 39 counties, all 49 legislative districts, 10 congressional districts, and all the judicial, every system that we can take Christ and the gospel to, because a changed heart makes changed policy. All right, let's dive into Romans chapter 14, verse 22. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Ooh, look at that. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. All right, so we're going to cover these two verses over 2 days, and then we're going to be done with this chapter. But notice that it begins in faith and ends in faith. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. So here's the thing that I want you to understand. The context of Romans 14 is he's not saying have a private faith that you never take into the public square. He's not saying that. He's saying when it comes to food, drink, when it comes to areas of days that you worship and those principles of conscience, that faith, you have that between you and God. Let God just teach you and talk to you, and it's a quiet, confidence before God. You're just standing there in the presence of Almighty God going, God, shape me, mold me, disciple me. And his word is doing that. And he may have some special things for you because he knows your weaknesses. He knows what you can handle. He knows your strengths and what will be a benefit for him to be glorified. And so thinking through, like, okay, these are areas of faith. And how do you know that? Well, it's because of the second verse. Whatever is not from faith is sin. So we'll get into that tomorrow. But some convictions should be held before God with humble confidence rather than pressed loudly on others. So let's say, like, you have a conviction not to watch rated R movies and PG-13 movies and PG movies or whatever. I don't know. You just don't watch any Disney movies. Okay. Have that conviction before God. Have faith that God has spoke to your heart and said, don't watch those. And there may be others that say, I just don't have that conviction. That's all right. When you come over to my house and I don't watch Disney movies, don't ask to watch a Disney movie. If I go to your house and you don't like sports, I don't ask to watch sports. So that's what we're talking about here. Some of these different preferences that we can have. So the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So when you have something that God's been working on your heart, hold that out before God and say, God, I want to be honoring to you. I want to be glorifying to you. And God, I'm going to have this quietly before you. So those personal convictions oftentimes are what we turn into legalism. And we try to conform people into our own image. Hey, let's look at Galatians chapter 6. And I love this set of verses here because when you see this, you begin to understand some things. It says, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass. Now, a trespass is absolute. A trespass means you're on property that you're not supposed to be on. And so when you go to a place of sin, a trespass, that's an absolute, not a personal preference. You who are spiritual, restore. So when we are helping a brother, we should restore them. It says how? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. We do it gently. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. So self-reflection is a key to restoration, right? So those are the absolutes. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We bear the burden of talking to our brother if they've broken one of God's commands. Maybe they've become bitter towards someone and they have held on to unforgiveness. Maybe they have murdered someone. Maybe they have committed adultery. I don't know, whatever the sin might be, we're to bear that burden and to go talk to them and help them through that time. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That verse right there is probably one of the greatest things that we struggle with our personal convictions. We get haughty in our own eyes. Our holiness, that is not necessarily God's righteousness or blamelessness, but our holiness, our self-righteousness, you might say, is as filthy rags to God, and we hold that up for others to try to live up to. And God is like, man, when you think you're some a big deal, you're just not a big deal. You deceive yourself. But each one must examine his own work. This is what pertains to what we just read. And then he will have reason for boasting in regards to himself alone and not in regards to another. He says, take what you have. If you have a conviction before the Lord, do not watch Disney movies. Do not shop at Target. I don't know. There could be a lot of different things that you have. Take that before the Lord and examine that before the Lord. And then he will have reason for boasting in regards to himself alone and not in regards to another. For each one must bear his own load. And this shows you the difference between helping someone who's stuck in a clearly defined absolute sin in the scripture versus dealing with our personal preference of bearing one's own load. I one time demonstrated this. If this is a book that I have, and this is my load that I have to bear, and if I had a friend come along, they'll say, this is my friend's hand over here. If they help me, they're helping me bear this load. I am bearing my own burden and they're helping me bear the load. We're like, let's talk about this together. Okay. And so that's what we're seeing here in scripture. There's this coming along. I never really take it from them and start carrying their burden on their behalf. That's what we're talking about here. All right. One more scripture here is Ephesians chapter 1. I want to remind you that in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. He has redeemed us, even in those areas. There may be seasons that you go through where, man, you were unable to participate in X, Y, and Z. And then all of a sudden God says, all right, I'm releasing you from that. You've matured enough. Go back. You can be a part of whatever that might be. But we know that in an absolute is that he has paid the price for your sins and for my sins. He's done this through his blood, for the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his own kind intentions, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. So, there you go. Understand what your personal preferences are and your convictions. Walk those out before God. You don't need to get everyone else on board on those. But know the absolutes of scripture. It's really important. And don't switch the two categories. God's got a plan for our life, and he wants us to be blessed and to walk in that blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We do pray that as we go throughout the day, that the convictions, the personal convictions that we have, those preferences that we might have, those areas that you have spoken into our heart and warned us not to be a part of, God, we hold those quietly before you. And we are trained and discipled by your Spirit through the Word of God to walk out those things. God, we pray for the absolutes of Scripture. God, would you just convict us of areas that we need to repent of? Holy Spirit, would you step into the public square and convict me of areas that my attitude's off, my actions are off, my words are off, whatever might be off, convict me, Lord. I love you so very much. I want to be used by you. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, at the end of the day. So go before us. We pray for Governor Bob Ferguson. We pray for his salvation. We lift him up and say, Lord, would you send people divinely in his path today that they could share Jesus with him? We pray for President Trump. We pray for his salvation. God, send spiritual advisors and people around him that the fruit of the Spirit would flow out of his life like never before. God, we pray for our pastors that may not know you, that are just leading because they're involved in a religion. We pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Most importantly, Lord, we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that, God, you raised him from the dead and your word is true. Then we are saved. We pray over our own salvation. So, Lord, we know that redemption is an absolute. And so we love our neighbor enough to pray for them. And we hope they're praying for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.